birthday party?
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast. I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. Like always, Abracadamits, hope you're getting stuff done. Meeting those goals, or at least taking the first steps to get to where you want to be. You guys may have noticed there was a few episodes that weren't coming out till Sunday. And I decided to do that because my schedule gets real crazy on Friday and Saturdays, and it's really tough sometimes to meet that deadline. But you know what? I think I'm going to go back to try to get the episodes out on Friday. So here we are, back on Fridays, the Abracadam. Woke up to the sad news about Meat Loaf passing away at the age of 74. That's sad. You know, he had some hit songs, and now probably it's already started, but, I mean, he was a big deal back in the 70s, you know, came back in the 90s, and now the song that I remember him by, of course he was in the Rocky Horror Show, which is cool, but the song I remember him by was the "I Will Do Anything for Love," and now that's gonna be stuck in my head, and in honor of Meat Loaf, I hope it's stuck in all y'all's heads too. So, thank you for the music, Meat Loaf. Rest in peace. All right. But I do think we are ready to get things moving along. So let's give a big shout out to the sponsors for the Abracadam Podcast. This episode is also brought to you by Will's Towing, located at 2081 Oak Ridge Turnpike, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Now, guys, no one likes to be broke down on the side of the road. It's awful. It sucks. But don't panic. If this does ever happen, give Will Roberts a call at 865-272-5300 and let Will Roberts take care of your towing needs. Will will come pick it up, and he will park that car anywhere you need him to park it. If you want that car set in your living room, Will will put it in your living room. Also, we've all seen those tow truck drivers that show up, and they look kind of sketch. You know, like they may have been touching a possum before they came up to you. You know what I mean? One of those guys. You never have to worry about that at Will's Towing. Everybody who works at Will's Towing is clean, safe, and very friendly to deal with. So if your car breaks down, you need a towing service at all, give Will Roberts a call at Will's Towing. That's 865-272-5300. All right, Abracadamits. Now, today's guest is a very, very interesting person. Well, first let me just say this. Over the past few years, I have become more open-minded to a lot of things, actually. I grew up being raised in a Christian household, then I became an atheist, and now I'm no longer an atheist, but I am somebody who is spiritual. And I think, you know, at least in my opinion, to be spiritual is the most rational thing you can be. And I do consider myself a rationalist. That being said, I also think that there's something, too, about psychics. You know, I think everybody every now and then has had some type of psychic moment, you know, a thought, and it has happened, and it's possibly more than a coincidence, and they may have trouble explaining it. That's why I like today's guest. Not only is she a psychic medium, she's also an author. She has some books out there that you can purchase that will teach you how to tap in to be your inner psychic, how to you know, notice these things. So I think that's really cool. Let me just say that. And also, it's interesting. Let's just be honest. It is interesting. She actually gives me a past life reading on this episode, and she nailed some things. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not making this up. It was kind of crazy stuff that I don't tell anybody. She knew. So, if you will, Abracadamits, sit back and relax with my fun conversation with psychic medium and author Corby Mitlide. All right, I'm excited. We got psychic medium Corby Mitlide here today on the Abracadam Podcast. How you doing, Corby?
Rocking and rolling, but frigid up here in upstate New York, my friend.
Well, you know,
Tennessee has had its touch of snow. Nothing like what you guys deal with up there, but it's just like a couple weeks ago, it was in the 70s, and now, you know, the snowstorm coming in. So who knows what
this Danny, y'all, you know, we'll take the frigid temperatures. Y'all have too many tornadoes.
Oh, that
and,
is
you know, the truth. I used to live in Marietta, Georgia in the 90s, you know, right down the street from the Big Chicken. And the day that a tornado came a quarter mile from my house, I said, please, God, if you will let me get through this, I will be back home to New York so fast you will not see my vapor trail. And I was.
That's such so weird. You know, I even kind of joke. I was like, you know, I miss the good old days when it would come a thunderstorm, you know, instead of the end of the world every time.
I know.
You know,
yeah,
it's crazy. Well, okay, well, let's do this. Like I said, you introduced yourself here to the Abracadam listeners. Do you mind?
No, not at all. I'll give them my 30-second elevator speech. Hi, guys, or as we say in New York, hello there. I'm Corby Mitlide. Everyone wants to know, how did you get started? When I was 9, I read a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes, and I said, oh, well, there's magic in the world. Let's go find it. Fast forward to 1973 when I was a senior in high school. And yes, that tells you how old I am. That was when Live and Let Die came out with Jane Seymour as Solitaire the Fortune Teller. Spencer Gifts had the James Bond 007 tarot deck and I bought it because we were all hippies then. You had your bell bottoms and your fringe jacket and your deck. 5 years later, everyone else had moved on to roller skates and disco balls. Not me. I thought the cards were fabulous and I kept reading for 20 years, making sure I kept a clear channel for the information. All of a sudden in 1994, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. That's when the universe handed me my draft notice and said, hello, you're working for us. So I hung up my shingle part-time. Meanwhile, with a very checkered career, actress, author, inspirational speaker, video producer, legal assistant, writer for a graphic novel series, executive recruiter. But it all changed on 9/11. As we watched the towers burn, I turned to my husband. I said, I will need to do the psychic work full time. People need to know there's another answer out there. He said, I believe in you, go do it. So one more year working 70 hours a week corporate, evenings and weekends doing psychic work. After that, closed the door on corporate and I have never looked back. It's been 20 years. I read 6 days a week. I read 1,000 people a year. And I get to get up every morning. I don't have to get up every morning. That's the key.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. I can get down with that. Now, let me ask you this, because this is something that I think everybody, okay, I'll talk about this. I think everybody sometimes feels like they've got some type of psychic connection, something, you know, something there. Like you've had a thought, then it actually came true. Is that how it started with you though? Like as a child or how did that happen?
It started probably that serious stuff in the 90s. But what I'm going to tell your listeners is what I told people all my life. I'm not special. You can do what I do. We're all wired like the same house plant. And here's your example. All right, everybody listening, I want you to look at your audiovisual aid, which is your two hands. Okay, you got 10 fingers. All of us can pick out chopsticks on the piano with a little work. Some of us really like the idea of playing music, so we learn how to read it, we practice our scales, and you know, we get to a certain level of pretty good. That's me. Then 20 million people, you'll find one Elton John. Okay, so if you think you've got this, you do. You have to learn to work with it. It's like any other talent.
You know, I can get on board with that. And you know what, Corby, I'm going to tell you this. I've came a very long way. Really, I have, especially here in the past few years, because I was always real cut off to it. For some reason, there's this thing in magic, especially with magicians, to where they refuse to believe anything fun is what I tell people, you know. And, you know, Harry Houdini was always went after the mediums and to expose them as frauds and a lot of things. And I think, you know, for a long time, I kind of had that type of mentality thinking. But it wasn't until both my parents had passed, and it wasn't until my mother had passed away that I started noticing some things, like she was communicating with me in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And I would literally have conversations with my mother on my way back and home from work, you know, and it seems like I could just tell that she could hear me. You know, she was listening.
Yeah.
And then little things would happen. There's just little things that it's hard to explain that would happen, that kind of, that she was letting me know she was there. So that process over the years has really opened my mind up. And now I consider myself to be a spiritual person. And I do believe in these things. I believe exactly what you said, that I think people do have ability to do this. It's just some of them are, you might have Michael Jordan, and then you might have, you know, somebody in the amateur leagues.
Howie Goldfarb from New Jersey. Yeah. Same thing.
So, but I mean, I'm totally on board with that. I think that's, but now let me ask you, so, because you did talk about, you know, talking to the dead, correct? Mm-hmm. Now that thing, yep. Just like how I mentioned, you know, talking to my mother, stuff like that. Do you think but you're able to talk to other people who you're not like connected with, close with.
That's right. But remember, we're not dial a dead. If your Aunt Rose is on a field trip, she is not going to be by the phone.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, I mean, so, okay. To compare you, can we compare you to Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost? So is it kind of like that for you?
No, it's sometimes like that for other people. But number one, Whoopi didn't have an open and a closed sign. She was just, you know, Sam Wheat would come and interrupt her in a shower. He didn't care. The agreement I have with my guides is there's an open sign and a closed sign. So that if you sit down with me and you pay me, or we barter and you bring me a chicken, or I do it pro bono for whatever reason, that's the signal for my guides. Shop's open. Let's get everything we can for this person. But I do that deliberately because people are afraid of psychic mediums and intuitives. They think that we just walk down the vegetable aisle and peek in your mind. And the person who's done the worst damage about that is the Long Island medium. You know, she walks up to somebody in Wegmans and she says, "Excuse me, you don't know me, but I have a message from your Aunt Doris. Your back tire is bald, you're going to die in a week if you don't get it fixed. Just telling you," and she walks away. Of course, it's going to scare the piss out of people. And that's not how it works. Her PR people went and scouted Wegmans on Long Island for a month, interviewed people, and then got them to sign a model release, and then they rehearsed it 6 times. But people who don't know that think it is all right to go up to people and invade their space. And those of us that are absolute professionals, we know that's one of the worst things you can do and absolutely uncalled for.
So, okay. And I mean, I've heard a lot of people like in the paranormal investigators, where they talk about a lot of paranormal shows, which are pretty much garbage, you know, set up for ratings and stuff. And unfortunately, yes, television, ratings comes first. Let's talk about two others that pop in my mind. And if you don't mind, if you don't want to, it's okay. But what's your opinion about, was it Robert Edwards? Was that his name?
John Edwards.
John Edwards.
You have John Edwards, John Holland, James Van Praagh. They're all legitimate. But when you see John Edwards on TV for an hour going bang, 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 getting everybody, you haven't seen the 5 hours of tape that's on the floor. Okay?
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I don't do mediumship galleries like that. Number one, we're not dial-a-dead. And number two, my style's a little different and I will not censor. What I tend to do when you want me to get your dead person is I get their dog tags. For instance, my father, Jerome Richard Dorkin, who died in 2001 at the age of 80. Notice that tells me nothing that cuts me into the energy. What happens is then my guides play charades with me. If I mime a cigarette, it means they smoked. If my hands reach to my chest to move out, it means they probably had surgery. If my hand goes over my mouth, it means they were intubated on oxygen or having trouble breathing. And that is a much easier way of saying it's your person than it's a rose. They love you. When you and I are both sure I have the connection, then I open up and you can talk to them directly. couple of examples of how specific. A woman wanted to speak to her father-in-law. I feel myself miming a pool cue. He taught her how to play pool. A woman in Canada wanted to reach her grandfather. I feel myself salute. Now, you can't see me if this is just audio, but trust me, Americans salute with their palm down, Brits and Canadians palms out, my palm was out. She had just graduated from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Academy 2 weeks ago. And why, the other reason I won't do it, all right, you want the PG or the R version of this particular story?
Hey, yeah. Corby, the Abraca, damn, we can get rated R. So whatever you want
to do. So there was a biracial same-gender couple. The Black partner had died, and her white widow wanted to speak to her. Okay, now, you can't see this face, kids, but this was a nice Jewish kid in Cherry Hill, New Jersey when I was growing up. So what comes out of my mouth in flawless urban ebonics was, well, shit, if it ain't my white bitch. And I'm going, ew, God! But the woman in front of me is laughing and nodding because that is how her partner, Isabel, walked into the house after every business trip. Now, if I was doing that in public, you know I can't say that out loud. And if I was worried about things and I had fudged that message, you would not have had that absolute proof. Now, past lives I'll do in a gallery setting, just like John Edward does mediumship, because I have the ability to pull them down that fast. And a past life is not going to be as possibly fraught as talking to a dead person when you don't know what they're going to say.
Gotcha. That is crazy. What? Well, okay. Now, what about Sylvia Brown? A lot of people give Sylvia Brown, they talk about her. They even brought up her book here lately about her predicting the pandemic. What are some of your feelings about Sylvia?
My feelings about Sylvia is when she went on television and told a woman her daughter was dead and it turned out the daughter wasn't. No. I never met Sylvia. But I know that friends of mine and I have read people that said they went to Sylvia Brown and they waited 3 years and paid $2,000 for 20 minutes and got nothing. And we just roll it out for them. Okay. Now, all of us have people who don't like us. Trust me. I have a couple of people who think I'm a terrible person. And then I have my regular clients who think I walk on water and just get my ankles wet. The truth is somewhere in between. But it's one of the reasons why you really have to be careful with media famous personalities. You know, you go to some of these websites and they're gorgeous and they're slick, but they don't give you any information. They want to collect everything from you first. And then when you get behind the curtain, it's pay me for this and pay me for that and pay me for the other. I'm old fashioned. You go to my website and there are 150 articles for you right there. You don't have to pay me for every word out of my mouth. So that's the thing. Do you want fame or do you want authenticity? It's gotcha. Really hard to have both.
Gotcha. And you know, and it, as an entertainer myself, you know, a lot of people think probably the worst part about being an entertainer is the fame that it almost requires that you have to have. And that's, to me, that's the grossest mm-hmm. part about it. You know, I mean, I'm in the business of selling smiles is what I do. I want to sell happiness. I want people to be happy to come, you know, come see my show and leave happy at a good time. Mm-hmm. But it sucks on the fame side because you do see people who become famous and I've seen it. I have seen it several times. People have become famous and they become the biggest douchebags in the world. It does something to people. It changes them. And it pushes them away from their craft, their art that at one time they may have loved, you know. Well, here, let me ask you this, because I always kind of, I'm also a sciencey person, you know, Corey. Good. I always try to, you know, I consider myself a rationalist. I do, which okay. means I'm on Lonely Island in 2022. But I am a rationalist. And so whenever I look at things like the paranormal or anything, I think I do believe in it, but I'm rational about it. So if you are speaking to dead people, people who have passed, do you think maybe, what do you think exactly is going on? Do you think maybe you're touching and you're reaching out to another dimension, where do we go? I mean, and just like how you do, you know, do the
late great Betty White used to say when any of her friends died, now they know the secret. All of us are going to know when we're dead.
Yeah, yeah.
What I think happens is when we cross over, we unpack our bag, sign the guest register, get the orientation tour, and we drop the personality. What does that mean? All right, let's use my dad. We were best friends. We shared the same birthday. So, you know, we're still in contact. Dad was a brilliant, incisive, and compassionate physician. He told the worst puns in the entire world, and he loved me. So those parts of my father are his pure soul, and they still come down. What's the personality? The personality being what we have and then dissolves when we go up there. His anxiety, his depression, and his hypochondria. Okay. He doesn't need those up there, but they were part of him down here because it's what helped him learn. Okay. The way I explain it for people who still go ding is, let's take the actor Matt Smith. Matt was the 11th doctor on Doctor Who. Man, Matt was my doctor. But when he was done with that, he put the bow tie and the suspenders in the closet and became Prince Philip in the first two seasons of The Crown. Think of Matt Smith as the soul and the 11th Doctor and Prince Philip as incarnations, one and done. In that sense, when a Bible thumper comes to me and says, but God says we're only here once, I actually agree with him because it's true. Your soul, my soul, we keep coming back down as long as there's stuff we want to learn. Danny, Corby, one recipe, one and done.
So is that why people don't know all their past lives for that example, that they kind of come down and do something?
Danny, you're a janitor in Tupelo. And you've been a janitor all your life, and then you find out that you were Napoleon Bonaparte. Are you really gonna concentrate on the life you have here? No. We only remember the lives that help us learn in this one. Okay. For instance, back in the 80s, there was a band in Philly. No, I'm not going to name them. And yeah, as a Philly girl, Jersey girl, I had a mad crush on the lead. Now, I don't normally do that, but first time I saw them, boom. Well, I was doing some past life work and I had found out my own existence, 18th century Scotland. And frankly, I was the Tavern Roundheels and there was this Scottish English lord. And my sense was that was this dude. Well, we couldn't figure that out until I was having linguine and clam sauce at a restaurant on the main line with my friend. And all of a sudden, after talking about it, in my head went Marcus Baron Gordon Huntley. And I'm thinking, what? What do you do when you need to look up a peerage? You go to Debrett's peerage. It's this Mondo book. And I found out that in 1752 was born Alexander, 12th Marcus of Huntley. And in 1784, he was made Baron Gordon of Huntley. Now, I went to college and I was Wars of the Roses and Henry VIII. I knew nothing about Scottish history and certainly nothing about 18th century. This is way before Outlander. So how, and once I figured out what the backstory was, which I don't have to go into here, the obsession disappeared. So it's one of those things. Once we learn what we need to learn from it, it dissipates. We have to concentrate on who are we now? What are we meant to learn in this life? And what do we want to take with us when we go?
So, okay, is this, would you connect something like this close to like Buddhism or Hinduism or something?
Maybe. I am not a comparative religion student, but the way I see it is, the soul wants to learn. And I love the example that John Lennon used to use of the white room. When you've got white rug, white walls, white curtains, white piano with white keys, and you're dressed in white, you have no concept of black. The Eskimos have 250 words for snow and not one for palm tree. They don't know. So for us to learn in a world of duality, limitations of physicality, we got to come here, or the planet Zorch, or whatever. That's why we come down here.
That's so interesting too, because a lot of times it's easy for us to get caught up and wrapped up in our daily little reality bullshit lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is. And and there's times that you just have to step back and, like, if you look at space and you're like, my God, really? What the hell is that? I mean, but really, what is that? You know,
you look at us and our galaxy and then away from another galaxy.
And you think
you're worried about the plumber?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm like. I'm like, this is mind boggling. This is, what in the hell is going on? What is this? You know? And it's that's what I'm saying. Back to the open mind, because this is why I'm open mind, Corby, because of that right there. You know, people could sit there and say, well, you know, we know the planets and stars. Of course, yes, I know. But then again, there's a lot that we don't know. We have no clue, no fathom how really, really things work.
And we can't, you know, if an ant walked into your calculus class, would you expect the ant to be able to do the homework assignments? No, he doesn't have that much brain.
Absolutely, and not at all.
It doesn't mean we're awful. It just means this is where we are in evolution.
Now you did mention like Bible thumpers. Now I wouldn't assume it is bad up north. You know, Bible thumpers aren't, I'm sure they're there. They're everywhere down south. Boy, it can be pretty bad down here.
Boy, howdy. That is why I became a reverend, to be honest. It is non-denominational, and I did it for two reasons. One was way back before same-gender marriage was the law of the land. If I had friends who batted for the same team and they wanted sacred ceremony, I was going to do it. But the other was when I crossed the Mason-Dixon line, you're doing fortune telling, and we don't like that. Oh, no, I'm a reverend. It's pastor counselor. Oh, Reverend, I'm so sorry. You go right ahead. Dumb? Yes. But safety factor. I mean, look. Even in London, Ontario, I read a guy and he didn't like what I told him. I found an anonymous death threat on my table the next day. Now, because I'm smart and I teach this in my book on, you know, how to be an A-lister doing intuitive work, I always have a sign-in sheet that I have my client handwrite name, birthday, whatever else I need. So we were able to match the handwriting with the handwriting on the note, turned it over to the promoter, and they got the police.
That is insane.
But it's,
they didn't like
it. It's one of the reasons. No, they didn't. It's one of the reasons fame is a very touchy thing these days. It's not what it was in the 50s and 60s.
No, it absolutely is not. We could go down a crazy rabbit hole on mm-hmm. that discussion. That's also interesting because I haven't been to many psychics. I haven't had many readings at all, but there has to be times that you see stuff that's not desirable, you know, that, I mean, it's not always, you know, it's not Ozzy and Harriet, you know what I mean?
It's what I call glurpy purple with angels. No, it's not. But I always tell people, you know, if you don't want me to talk about health or you don't want me to talk about a certain subject, tell me. And I will respect that and leave it alone.
Yeah.
But when they say, don't tell me bad things, I go, look, that's how I work. Here are your opportunities and how to grab them. Here's the tough stuff. Here's how to get through it or around it. Here's your toolbox. Go rock and roll. And remember, even the best of us, we're only 85% accurate because we're human. The only one 100% accurate is God, and he doesn't have a booth at the psychic fair this weekend.
There you go. There you go. That's cool. I can get down with that. And well, you know, whenever I ask, you know, like if I did ask, I did go to a psychic one time. Matter of fact, I did go to a psychic one time, and this was the craziest town. And you've probably been there. You may know about this. Mm-hmm. It is in Florida. Oh my gosh. My mind just went blank, but it's in Florida and it's a little town, and the entire town is nothing but psychics. Like literally.
That sounds very much like Lilydale up here in New York. Sure.
It is, it will come to me. Guys, I apologize. Yeah, my mind went blank, but it is a town and it's a small little town. And it was really cool to go visit, first of all, because it's not like a town.
You're talking about Casadega, aren't you?
Casadega, Florida. Yes. We went into the little hotel and the hotel was super, it was creepy, but cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Casadega, Florida. So you've been there.
I haven't been there, but Lilydale, which is the Western New York equivalent, very famous. Spiritualism started there in the 19th century. I've taught there. So yes, I am familiar with, you know, you walk down the street, who do you want?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. There's signs out in people's yards. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just like anywhere you want. If you ever want a reading, there it is. So mm-hmm. Lilydale is the same type of deal, huh?
Very much, very much.
Now, how do towns do that? I mean, do people just, do psychics get together and say, hey, we're all going to move to this town? Or how does that work?
I'm not really sure. I mean, there are some places, Sedona, Asheville, Carolinas, that people do this. But I know in Lilydale, when you buy a house there, you don't buy the land. You buy your house. The land still belongs to Lilydale because they want to keep it at a level of spiritualism very high. In fact, you cannot practice at Lilydale without being certified by their crew, whatever.
Wow.
And that's fine. When you go to a psychic fair, it's not going to be like that, which is why I actually teach people how to get a psychic and get a good one. When you go to these fairs and you don't know any of us from Housecat, I tell them that they all have to be good puppies. First, they have to do their walkies. And that's when they just walk around and just look at things. Then they have to get paper trained. And paper trained is what they need to do is they need to pick up stuff that tells them about the psychics that they're interested in. Then they come and talk to us. If we're there, that's fine. But remember, we can tell you we're wonderful and that doesn't count. And we hire our front people to say they love us. Now, my first front person, that's the person who tells you things while I'm reading, was the wonderful Laura Spickerman. Laura was my husband's office manager at the Revolutionary War Museum he directed for 23 years. She worked for me weekends. Do you think she's going to diss Mrs. Museum Director? Probably not.
No.
So what you want to do is you want to look on the table. We all have testimonial books. Clients have written comments. Are we good? Are we kind? Are we funny? Do we have specialties? Children, dogs, dead people. Did they feel we were accurate and would they come back? But the last thing, and I cannot stress this enough, is check in at your heart level, kids. You are putting your hard-earned money on the table. If the psychic doesn't feel like they have a brain in their head, they really give a damn about what they're doing, or they're going to give you good information, don't go there no matter how cool the wiki-woo looks on the table. It's not your person.
Gotcha. Don't be fooled by the flash. You know,
that's right.
There's a lot of, let me ask you now, you know, and first of all, I do want to clarify this, you know, no offense to any Bible thumper people, a Christianity, Buddhism, any religion that you choose, you know, that is your baby. And I have nothing against mm-hmm. that at all. And, you know, and being a spiritual person, I do believe, I choose to believe in a God. Because I think it's just, I mean, at one time I did identify as an atheist at one time, but then now the more I think back, I'm like, you know, how sorry of a life does that have to be? You know what I mean? I mean, I really choose to believe in a God, and I think we can accept all these things and still have a relationship with a higher being, you know? Is there any examples or stories that you'd like to share that maybe you did a reading for somebody and you really helped them, really, really helped them in some way? Anything that maybe pops out?
Oh, Lord, there have been so many. If you go to my website, you're going to see testimonial after testimonial. But the one that I remember, you know, I do a little bit of medical intuitive work, but it's not really my wheelhouse. For that, I send you to my buddy, Stacy Wells, that I consider one of the best medical intuitives in the US. But many years ago, somebody said, you know, just do a check on me. And I sensed some gray area in the lungs. I said, you know, I'm just getting something here. Why don't you just go get an x-ray, go talk to your doctor, just make sure it's nothing. 5 years later, the wife comes back and says, I really want to thank you. I said, excuse me? She said, 5 years ago, you told us to go to the doctor. And it turned out my husband was in the beginnings of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh.
And because we caught it so early, he had 4 really terrific years before he died. We had so much that we were able to cherish. And without you, we wouldn't have had it. Guys, it's not me. I'm just the tube. That's one of the things John Holland says. What comes through us, it is not that our aura don't stink. We are only the tube that it comes through. We're God's pool. That's it. But something like that, some of the past lives I've picked up that help people figure things out, you know, I just sit there and go, I am so lucky that I get to do this.
You know, okay, so that you mentioned the aura, you know, like to me, when I hear that, I see like there's a I always picture of you seeing a glow around people. And they talk, I don't really understand, you know, much of it, like there's different colors or explain to me and listeners about that.
All right. I don't see auras the way you're talking. Some people do. And it's so cool. But again, not my wheelhouse. But we all have energy that we can feel. I think it's called Kirlian. They've done Kirlian photography and you can see it. Some people can see colors like the old mood rings. It's not that you have a blue aura and you're going to be blue for the rest of your life. Okay. Think about comic books. When someone is really mad, they give that red glow around them. Same thing. Aura is just a manifestation of energy around us at any point. You do not get holes in your aura. You do not have bad things caught in your aura. That's the fake gypsy. Here, pay me $600 for this specially blessed candle crap. Okay. And again, anybody can do what I do. I cannot begin to stress that enough. The way we all have specialties is spirit rifles in your file cabinet to see what you love. Now, do I do spirit art? No, because I can't draw a stick figure with a sharp pencil and a lot of prayer. Do I use a pendulum? No, because I have a slight tremor in one hand and I wouldn't trust what I get. But theater major at Brown University, so I understand characters. I'm a writer. Words are my drug of choice. I can tell stories. And I've been a history freak since I was a little schnut. So if another person who does past lives and I see the same scene, they might say, well, you're in a long skirt and a big hat, and there's something very ornate. So I know it's old fashioned. Maybe it's in Europe. I would be able to see that exact same thing and go, okay, that's a hobble skirt. You're wearing a picture hat with that kind of ostrich feather. And I see you standing in front of the Brandenburg Gate. This is probably Berlin in 1911 or 12. Which one's going to give you the better information? Which is not to say that other person's bad. Just like piano players are good or, you know, but they're not Elton.
Gotcha.
So don't now, worry about not doing everything.
Really. Now, okay, I want to bring this up too, because you are the author of, I think, 3 books, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
What is your latest one that we got out here? What is it I see? Is it the Yellow Brick Road one?
No, that's the second one. The third one is a bit of a niche book. It's called You've Got the Magic, Who Needs a Genie? The A-Lister's Guide to Holistic Expert Success. Look, I was on the road 18 years, 45 weekends and 50,000 miles a year. My nickname was the Travel Channel. But summer of 19, herniated disc and pinched nerve and babies, that makes having triplets look like a tea party. Now, I got over it, but the doctor said, sorry, kid, but your career is toast. You cannot load in and load out anymore. You cannot be that long in the car. So they told me that in the fall of 19, and I quickly moved everything online. Now, that's an example of the universe taking care of you even when you don't know it. Because what happened in March of 2020, but the advent of the year of Murder Hornet Bingo and Hold My Beer? Everybody I knew that was still just on circuit, their business tanked. Last, you know, 20 and 21, now that I'm all online, I did better than I ever had. But the universe knew I loved traveling so much that if they didn't put the Monty Python squish foot on me, it would take a lot more to get me to get off the road in my 60s and at the desk where I could do more stuff.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you know sometimes, like, if the universe gives you hints or how do you know to listen, to pick up on
you that? Live the examined life. The examined life is, look, you're looking at someone who's been through 3 bouts of breast cancer, 2 divorces, poverty, abuse, you name it. But I am not a pity party person. The examined life is, God, this is, it just, it's awful. I don't want it to happen, but it's happening. So I got to figure out, what can I learn from it? Personally, I then say, how am I going to teach with it next? Okay. Quick example. Since I was 11, I had a Dolly Parton figure. No joke. 2 years after I finally got the right guy, I had my 3rd bout of cancer. Clock back to 0 because it was a 2nd primary, but they said, 3 strikes, you're out. We're going to take you from this Dolly Parton figure to a fat fire plug with permanent side effects. In 3 weeks, suck it up. Now, did I go home and cry for 24 hours? Of course I did. But then I knew, examine life. I had to find 3 reasons to be okay with it. Number 1, you don't have them. They can't get cancer. 2, you're not going to get the top half slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's, and every woman listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. 3, implants? Cool, I'll be perky till I'm 93. So I walked out of Mass General in 3 days, shopped for a bathing suit in 5. That was in 2004. Here I am, and I'm perfectly fine in 2022. I learned who I was without the rack. And this is pre-birth planning, because I was so aware of what I looked like that it skewed my view of the world, which is why I got cancer twice, but they were still there. My understanding is higher self and guide said, kid, we need you down there to teach, so we're going to remove the problem. So they did it in the least harmful way possible. A 2nd primary, cancer hadn't traveled, off, done. I don't have a pity party about that, nor do I identify myself as, oh, I've had cancer. I use it to teach. But that's like saying I was the Betty Crocker homemaker for New Jersey in 1973, which I was, but it doesn't matter now. I've moved on. So you see, I'm not just a psychic. I am somewhat psychologist. I am a reverend, I do preach. And I'm an entertainer. I mean, I've done stand-up comedy about You Think a Psychic's Life is Easy. But to roll back to why I wrote the book is, 18 years of everything I learned is in here. There are lots of books on how to have a great career, but not a lot on how to choose a front person, how to design your psychic booth, what do you do with crazy clients? So that's why that's there.
Well, okay, let's do this. Okay, now you did mention, you know, getting a death threat, which absolutely sounds horrible, absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have one of these, now, normally what I do, Corby, especially with entertainers, I bring entertainers on and I ask them to tell a hell gig story. Every entertainer has a hell gig story. Do you have something in particular that you could compare and call it a hell gig story that you had?
Well, let's say that one was pretty close.
That's right.
In a sense, we can have hell gigs all the time. and they're called clients. One of my favorite stories, I was reading in Kitchener, and I saw a couple of real challenging things for a woman. And I told her what I saw, and she looks at me, she says, you suck, and she gets up and walks away. Okay, fine. Who's the first person in my chair the next time I come down? She said, last time I said you sucked. I said, yes, I remember. Because you told me that I was going to take in a boarder, and then I was going to want to sell my house. And I thought that was all bull, but then my daughter got pregnant and moved home. And now I'm going to sell my house to raise my grandson. And I still don't like you, but I want to know what else you see. Don't shoot the messenger, woman.
Man.
Does that count?
That does count. That's definitely, I mean, for comparison, absolutely. Now, but you said you traveled. So, I mean, were you just all over the U.S.? Was it, where all did you go?
Generally, I went up and down the East Coast. I did shows from Florida to New England to about the Detroit level up in Canada. I did do some shows in California, but, you know, schlepping your stuff out there is so expensive on the plane. But I do remember after one of the cancer surgeries in order to fight an infection. I had a PICC line. That's the 28 inches of excitement that goes from your elbow right into your heart. But I had a show to do. So I took my PICC line and my vancomycin bag of bug drugs, and it got me good seats on the airplane. I mean, I didn't let anything stop me. So I can get through pretty much anything, I think.
Well, it sounds like it, you know, and, you know, that's, I love the way, one thing I love that you mentioned, I love that you talked about like almost like three rules, you know, not to have a pity, you know, party. I'm not a pity party person either. I can't be that person. I don't know why. Now don't get me wrong. I kick the shit out of myself, you know, inside, but I don't like to broadcast it. I don't like to broadcast it. Mm-hmm. And, but I love the way you did that. You found three positive things about your situation, mm-hmm. and then you ran with it and made something happen with it. I think that, mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. I love that. And now the three books. Now I keep look. Well, I got to talk about the psychic. There's that one that you just. What was the title of that one? Yeah, there we go. That's the one.
The psychic yellow brick road. How to find the real wizards and avoid the flying monkeys.
There we go. I love that. I love that. And that just kind of tells people how to if they want to begin a career in psychic medium.
No, it doesn't, because there are millions of books out there like that. What this is, look, you can go to an art museum and love the sculpture and love the paintings, but it doesn't mean you want to sculpt or paint. This is a book that says you may really love intuitives. You may love what we can do, but you don't want to learn to do it yourself. So this is how to stay safe. It's what questions to ask when it doesn't work. One of the chapters that everybody loves, including other intuitives who have read this book and said, God, I wish I had this when I was starting. There is a chapter called When Getting a Reading Won't Help. And trust me, every single one of us have had this. Does Bruce think about me? No. Has he ever thought about me? Not the way you want. Well, if I do such and such, will he think about me? No. Is he going to call soon? He isn't. Well, if he's not going to call soon, is he going to call later? And you see, this is someone who wants her answer. And so she keeps beating on us, hoping that we'll just say, okay, yeah, fine. He loves you and he wants seven babies with you, but he just doesn't know it yet. Oh, good. I thought so. Please don't waste our time. You know, so this is a book that will make you a very good psychic consumer, keep you safe, help you avoid the fake gypsies. And there's a chapter at the end, if you want to get started, this is how you can do it for your own use. But again, there are a million books. Frankly, if you want to learn how to do what I do, the book that I had years ago, I'm trying to do it with our background here, is Opening to Channel, How to Connect with Your Guide by Sanaya Roman and Dwayne Packard. Now, this thing is 30, 35 years old, but it's how I learned. It's good. It runs you through the exercises. It tells you how to do it step by step. Because guys, you got to learn how to ground, center, and shield. You have to learn how to protect yourself because you're going up to places you don't know. It's like, don't get me started on Ouija boards, okay? It's something I always ask when I lecture. Who here has ever used a Ouija board? A bunch of hands go up. I said, oh my God. Guys, using a Ouija board when you don't know how to ground, center, and shield is like opening your door in a strange neighborhood and yelling free beer. You do not know who's out there, but they heard you and they're coming. And yes, maybe Esther Hicks got Abraham and Jane Roberts got Seth, but I have had to handle two gibbering teenagers terrified because when they put their hands on the planchet and said, who's there, spelled very fast backwards was, I have an axe and I'm here to kill you. Trust me, it's not their Uncle Danny. Ooh. And for every one of you who says, but it's in the toy department, how dangerous can it be? I then say, okay, who here has a kid or a grandchild under 10 and hand goes up? Okay, you, how old? 8, what's the kid's name? Joshy, all right. Joshy comes to you and says, Grandma, Grandma, I got all A's on my report card. And you said we could go to the toy department and choose a toy. So we dragged you over to a box that says, my first chainsaw. It's in the toy department. Gonna let him play with it by himself? I don't think so. People have a brain, please.
Oh, man. And Ouija board, I mean, you always think of it as a toy, but, you know, well, down here in Tennessee, though, they look at that stuff as the devil anyways, you know. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. there's still, yeah, you know, every teenager has whipped out the Ouija board at a party and, you know, or something and played around with it. I've never messed with one. I have.
Me neither.
I've never messed with one, but you know, hell, I think I saw that movie. So I was like, no, nah, I'm not down, not doing it.
And what's happened now is the people who watched Downton Abbey and saw that Daisy and Anna got Lavinia saying, may they be happy on the Ouija board. No, my darlings, that's not how it happens. Please don't do that. You're not on Downton Abbey either.
Oh, man. That's so you can talk to evil spirits. You can get like, there are the bad things out there.
There are. That's why you need protection. Way in the beginning, when I really didn't know what I was doing yet, this is in the 90s. We will not tell you the backstory, but I happened to pick up a World War II Nazi hitchhiker. And we figured out who he was by the license plate that kept circling us when we were taking me from the airport from, you know, Fort Collins to Denver. And what kept coming up was Iron Man 5. Iron Man was Goering's nickname. And so I was sitting in my apartment in Atlanta, and all of a sudden, I, you know, big floppy shirt, the tail of my shirt comes standing straight up. I hear a voice that says, now do you believe I can't get in? And I felt hands around my throat. Now I was able to fight that off, but I called upon a dear friend of mine. His name is Adam. And he has a big sign on the astral that says, I'm a professional. I don't care. He was able to get a 6-foot ceremonial sword through the metal detector at Hartsfield without a peep. And he and I were able to stuff that back of the bottle. But since then, I have always made sure I've got my team around me. I've got my guides, you know, flying patrol. And that's where you have to believe there's, as Mel Brooks said, there's something bigger than Phil. You cannot do this without believing that there is a central point up there. And I don't care if you're Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, pagan, or believe in Ralph the Wonder Dog. You have to know somebody up there loves you, wants the best for you, and is willing to work with you. That's the basis of how you stay safe.
I can definitely get down with that. And it's really wild. And I believe that there are some bad things out there that do mm-hmm. want to cause you harm. And like, you know, like I said, my mind has just opened to this pretty much opened up just these past few years, mm-hmm. just over some really strange experiences I've had. But let's do this real quick, Corby. I did mention you some pre-show work, folks. I did a little pre-show work with Corby. I asked her before she came on the podcast if she would be willing to give me a past life reading. So, Corby, can we do this?
We can. Now, let me give a little précis to the folks listening. I do not just go and fish because I may find a real past life for him, but because it has no resonance in this lifetime, he's going to go, eh. So I asked him for an obsession or a phobia or a place he either loves or hates that makes no sense. I will give you a quick example of past lives I've done. Woman comes to me and says, my son is 29. He won't live more than a mile from me. He always has to ask me about every decision. What is going on? I'm so worried. And I was able to drop down and say, okay, Utah Beach, 1944. He's one of the soldiers on the beach. His leg is pretty mangled from gunshots. You're his commanding officer. I see you dragging him over a dune to keep him hidden. You take some shrapnel too, but you both got out alive. She looks at me and she says, do you see my rank? I said, yes, you're a sergeant. And she says, he's called me Sarge since he was 3 years old and we never figured that out. So there's one answer. Wow. Another woman, she's from like Des Moines. She says, I've always had a fascination with the Underground Railroad. I don't get this. And I said, all right, 1862. There's a whitewashed room, lower ceiling. There are two taller gentlemen standing and they're kind of bent over so they fit in. And you're kneeling by a little rickety iron bed, 1862, gray serge dress, black soutache around the peplum and the hem and your sleeves. And there is a very little old black woman in the bed and she's dying. You're all grieving because you had gotten her out of a Mississippi plantation and she was almost to Boston, which was the end of the Underground Railroad for her, but she was dying. She wouldn't make it. And I opened my eyes and the woman is crying. She says, I have had this dream exact for 20 years and I never knew what it was.
Wow.
Am I going to get anything that good for you tonight? Baby, I don't know, but we can try.
You know, it's still, you know, definitely this is fun either way. So,
okay.
So you asked me for an obsession.
You pick one of the three, obsession, phobia, or place.
Well, I mean, you know, and it's kind of hard for me to say this obsession, but I do have something for this, and it's an animal, and it's mm-hmm. strange because I don't know why, but
what is the animal? That's all I want you to tell.
Elephant. Elephants.
Okay. It's interesting. We're seeing an Indian elephant, not an African elephant. You know the difference in the ears, right? And I'm trying to see, are you the one on the howdah? The howdah is the thing. So are you the one on there? Or are you the elephant? No, you're the one on there. Very interesting. Okay. You had a position in India, but you know, this was the time of the British Raj when the Brits considered all Indians wogs, which stands for without grace. It's obscene. It's like calling a Jew a kike or a black person the N-word. And you found yourself in England dealing with circuses because for your family, the way a lot of Arab sheiks would treat their horses or their camels, you would treat the elephants. And since there was nothing for you over there, you weren't even the first son. When the elephants were shipped to England, you went with them. And of course they dressed you up in the cheap tinsel and the headdress with the plume and all of that. But you were the only one who made sure the elephants were well fed, the chains didn't hurt. When someone would start, you know, goading them, you would stop them. They were the last remnant of the glory of your family, and they were like your brothers, and you were not going to let them be hurt. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Does that make sense to you?
It's so weird. This is so weird, but yes. Yes.
Why does it make sense?
Well, I mean, especially whenever you touched on circus. And I had never connected, you know, elephants in the circus. I really never thought of that either. But I've always had like this, almost like a memory of a circus, but I've never been to. To me, that I didn't think I'd ever been to. Mm-hmm. So that's really strange. It's just strange that you brought up circus. So that's interesting. Yeah, that is weird.
But because we have that zing, that understanding, it resonates. And so, frankly, I would encourage you to go see if there are any of the groups that help retired circus animals or that maintain elephants in Africa or India. Go help the animals you love.
Absolutely. That is so cool. So cool. I love that. I did. Well, Corby, this has been a fantastic conversation. Super cool. I've really enjoyed this. But now we do, like I said, you've got a lot of things. You really do have a lot of things going on. You got your books, you've got your website, mm-hmm. and your YouTube channel. Now, on your YouTube channel, I saw that you do offer, you know, meditation and teach people how to meditate. And one of my goals for 2022 was to get a better balance in my life mentally and physically. And I want to take up meditating as well. For the listeners here listening who want to learn more about Corby, what can they find at your YouTube channel?
All right. At the YouTube channel, yes, I do some guided meditations and visualizations. You know, theater major, my voice, it's theater trained. So I can get that wonderful you know, plummy sound to take you off into left field. But there's also information about things like spiritual time management. If you're into cards, there are ways to read tarot and oracle cards. There are lots and lots of interviews that I've done. So that's if you want to just watch. If you want to work with me, there are actually two ways, or three. Number one is my website, corbymitlive.com. Go, there are like 150 articles there. You'll see how to make an appointment, and there are 15 different kinds. And so that'll give you a taste of who I am. Once a month on Facebook, in my Fire Through Spirit page, I do a free reading hour. And I mean, we're fast. I can have 45, 50 people in an hour. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. That's not the in-depth reading. If you want to really walk this road and you want a mentor, that's where you find me at Patreon. One of the things that I do there, you know, there are not that many tiers. One of them is you have a meeting with me once a month. We have people that we call the nest, and these are fellow people on the road. If you come in and you have a question, for instance, you might not get a reading from me because there are two other fabulous readers. My buddy Frankie from Canada, I refer to her as the Riker to my Picard. And we do learn meditation and karma and all kinds of things there. And then there's another tier, you get that plus four times a year I teach private classes. That's what, one of the things I love about Patreon is if you believe in us and you want to support us, but you don't need a reading all the time, that's how you do it. Because the more support I get on Patreon, the more books I can put out, the more videos I can put out, the more I can get you the information you need.
There you go. Patreon's something that actually I need to figure out here for this podcast. Well, and so if they do want to purchase the books, they can find them there at the website.
Or Amazon.
Or Amazon.
The books are all paperback or Kindle, your choice.
Fantastic. Well, Corby, thank you so much for coming on the Abracadam podcast. This has been a blast and it's been enlightening. You blew my mind there, Corby. Definitely blew my mind there. You know, I can't wait to hop on Facebook and hop on some of these places and follow you and see some of the things that you're doing.
Would love to have you. And it was great being here. Thank you.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Corby Midlight. It was amazing. She totally blew my mind with the past life reading. That was wild. If you can, give her a search on YouTube, Corby Midlight. She does her meditation and some really interesting stuff that she talks about on her YouTube channel. Also, check out her website and check out those books, especially if you've ever had any interest in, you know, psychic medium. You know, maybe find out, maybe you have this talent yourself. Who knows? If you guys have not done so yet, be sure to like and subscribe to the Abracadam podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. And I want to say Canada, Russia, Slovakia, I hope I didn't screw that up, guys, and Belgium, I see you. And like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening.
It's awesome.
Will you please stop drinking vodka at my kid's birthday party?